Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. My calendar says that it is Thursday. That means that we have to tolerate Amanda Radke for yet another day this week.
Aren't you sick of me?
I am. That's why I say we have to tolerate you for another day this week.
I know. If people don't know, we spent like, 38 hours in a car together going to Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to people. I missed you yesterday. It was like, I need my Amanda fix.
Okay.
You don't know where to go with that, do you?
I didn't reciprocate. Everyone should know.
I don't know where to lead you guys.
I didn't reciprocate. I didn't care about. I didn't even think about you, Trent. If you hadn't called me, I'd have forgot you existed, Trent.
No, we'll see you when we see you.
Who you got with you?
Well, I have a special guest today. It's only been like a 2-year thing that we are behind on, that we should have been on this a long time ago. A fellow Mitchell resident, Reed Bender. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
You excited to be here?
No.
Well, we're starting out with honesty. Well, that's the thing. So
no, I don't want to be here at all.
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
So Reed has a pretty intense story, and you'll understand why he says, no, I don't want to be here, because I think for the last 2 years, you haven't wanted to be in the position that you're in, yet you needed to be in the position that you were in. And it has inspired a movement beyond, I think, what you could have envisioned when you took a stand 2.5 years ago. So could you tell us kind of what happened in Mitchell, South Dakota, that started a national firestorm of media headlines?
What happened? COVID happened. Mm-hmm. Early on, everybody was scared. I was scared myself. My son was premature, and he's had lung issues his whole life. So finding out that it was attacking the lungs and everything, I was scared. About 2 weeks in, we found out it didn't hurt kids, and I was ready to go on living my life, right? And in Mitchell, South Dakota, that's kind of what I assumed we would do. They shut down all the businesses. I was upset about that. I didn't think they should do it, but I kept my mouth shut. And then when it came to masking the kids at school, I just didn't think they would do it. I really didn't think they'd do it in South Dakota, force our kids to do this. There's no need. So I didn't go to the first meeting when they actually announced they were having masks at school. once they implemented those rules on the kids, that's when I got involved. I started calling school board members. I talked to them on the phone, talked to principals, talked to teachers, talked to lots of people. I went to talked to the superintendent in person on the phone. Never had any problems, never threatened anybody, never been accused of threatening or being intimidating or anything like that. Went to my first school board meeting, talked, sat right up front. Second school board meeting, same thing. I don't think they liked what I was saying. Third school board meeting, they opened the meeting with put on a mask or get out. And I just said, no, mm-hmm. That's it. And they didn't like it. I believe they targeted me at the time. They came after me. And I just, just wasn't going to take it. They don't have a right to tell me how to breathe. I don't care who they are, I guess. So.
Right. No, that's my favorite thing that you say, that it's amazing that governments have decided they can provide a blanket health recommendation and they can literally tell everyone how to breathe.
It basically come down to that.
Yeah.
For me, if they have that much power over the individual, that's just too much power for any government to have, anybody to have over any individual. I mean, there's 1,000 different reasons why a person doesn't want to wear a mask. But none of those reasons matter. The government just has that much power and they just force you to do it.
Reed, let's just break it down a little farther on that authority. And I suppose we're fixing to find out. But everybody has experienced this. whether it be at a ball game or just a community event or any school function. It doesn't have to be school related, but schools seem to be the place where we get most of these authoritarian decisions that are made. What can they do? What authority do they have to tell you that? I mean, can they legally make you leave the building if you don't wear a mask?
Nobody knows. Why don't you tell me the law on anything? Anything.
Because I'm actually jumping ahead to the next thing, which is, you know, how many times do we walk in a building or a facility and it says, in fact, it happened to me in Biloxi, Mississippi, or if you're Amanda Radke, Biloxi, Mississippi. In the casino, they would not let me go to the meeting because my knife was on my belt. What authority do they have to tell me not to wear that knife? What authority does a business have to tell me that I cannot exercise my Second Amendment constitutional right to carry a firearm in a building?
Case, what tells them I don't have my First Amendment rights to peaceably assemble, to speak my mind, mm-hmm. to address my government, right?
And I think
everything.
The distinction there is you were on government property. Trent, you were at a private business. So there's that. But there was no law in place. It wasn't even a policy. It was just like
It wasn't a policy. It was a
protocol, right?
Protocol. Just a protocol, which there you go. What's the difference? What's the legal definitions and the terms? And I don't know. They don't know. They just make it up as they go.
And the fact that you were at 3 school board meetings before they addressed it. And I think if people really want to understand, to set the stage, and they can look your name up if they want, and you're on TMZ and everywhere in between. But I mean, you were sitting by yourself. You weren't threatening anybody. You were just there as a dad saying, I want my kids to have the choice to wear a mask or not.
That's it.
And I mean, they brought the police in. And within 30 seconds,
they had they called the police before that meeting. They were prepared for it.
Yeah, right?
They actively came after me. When they called the police, they waited for 15. Well, they started waiting, and then I kind of got on them a little bit, and then they ended up proceeding with the meeting. Well, once they actually started proceeding with the meeting, that tells everybody that I wasn't impeding that meeting in any way, right? So they actually moved on with it.
Right.
So legally speaking, I think that kind of gives me an out because they proceeded, because I wasn't disrupting anything, right? And there again, I don't know how the laws
are. But police are trained to not escalate a situation.
Yes. And what they did, they assaulted me. And they threatened him with a deadly weapon,
right.
Is what they did to me.
By what he means is there was a taser out within 30 seconds, basically.
Yeah.
And so then what happened? They usher you out. Everyone's in shock. What happened next?
I ushered them out. And that's yes, according to their court, according to court documents, I ushered them out, basically. And then I had about a 20-minute conversation with the cops outside. And I waited for the meeting to be over. I talked to people outside after they came out of the meeting. And
so were you charged at that point?
No, I didn't get charged until like 30 days later.
30 days later.
Yeah, with obstruction of law enforcement. Then we went through the whole trial. The trial ended 10-2 in my favor, hung jury. But they decided to come after me with those same charges. The court is prejudiced against me and anybody in there. They just protect themselves. So it was funny how during that first trial, the judge recommended to the state's attorney that I should be charged with trespassing and that I should be convicted, was her exact words. And so after that first trial, they brought those same charges up. Then they dropped those charges, brought up trespassing, and then dropped the trespassing charges down to a low enough misdemeanor. So where basically my only fine is, my only penalty as of right now is a $500 fine. That's it. They just want to get the conviction so that I can't sue is one of the big things. It's the system protecting themselves.
Covering their address for future implications. Reed Bender, Amanda Radke, we will take a break. We'll be back with more Roll Routes and talking about constitutional rights. When I have over the years shared the information because people want to be critical of nitrates. People want to be critical of estrogen. I'll tell people that you're worried about your bacon or your ham because it's cured and it might have nitrates, but you flock to eating leafy greens because leafy greens are the highest level of nitrate possible. And you know what the first question that person always asks me? How do they get them in there? How do they get them in there, Nathan?
Well, they're cured, right? They're cured vegetables. And vegetables actually cure many diseases. So just like your bacon's cured, you know, I wrote a paper called Nitrite, the Cure for Chronic Disease. So just like nitrite, nitrate cure meat and prevent, you know, lipid oxidation and prevent, you know, food spoilage and bacterial infections or bacterial overgrowth in the food, they do the same thing to us. They cure a lot of things because they improve nitric oxide, they improve oxygenation, they prevent oxidation, inflammation, and immune dysfunction.
You want to live a cured life? Take a nitric oxide supplementation every day like I do. NO2U.com. It's NO2U.com. Put Trend as your coupon code and you win big favors because you get free shipping and a 10% discount. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Amanda Radke, Reed Bender joining us, both of them from Mitchell, South Dakota. Before we get back to Reed's particular situation, Amanda, you bring up a really good point that needs pondering. Well, I brought up the constitutional rights of carrying my knife in the casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, and that is on private property. So that has a different flair to it than if you are on community property, taxpayer property, which I own part of the school, you know.
Yeah.
That's a public place.
Constitutional right. Should public property, should they be able to stop you from doing that in America?
Okay, well, if it's your property, you want to have some say in what happens on your property.
Right.
But when it comes to those basic constitutional rights,
isn't the public property our property?
Yes. Like just with disabilities, right? They have to cover ramps going into buildings for disabled people, right? They have to.
No. Time out. There is no constitutional right for a person in a wheelchair to have access to a place.
Public. You have a constitutional
gathering. There's no constitutionality in that. That was a rule put in place by a state or federal government.
Well, I think we're getting lost in the weeds here anyway, Trent.
I don't think we are. People, no, we're not getting lost in the weeds, Amanda, in that people have lost sight of a difference between a constitutional right and a rule that a government put in place that's not a constitutional right. People don't know the difference.
That's back to all laws. None of them are coherent. None of them truly make sense. I mean, look at your Second Amendment. You have a right to carry and protect yourself wherever. So where do all these other rules come into play that say you can't? I mean, basically, you can't carry a gun anymore. Why? Because you might go into a parking lot that's close enough to a school. Then all of a sudden, you're a felon. Just because of where you drove.
And I think that goes back to your original argument that you're a taxpayer, you were attending a public meeting in a public space, and you were peacefully assembling to
doing everything that the Constitution tells me I'm supposed to do. It's not only my constitutional right, that is my obligation as an American citizen to go to those meetings, to voice my opposition to these stupid rules that make no sense, that really, in this instance, the government always takes, you know, what's the saying? Never let a good
crisis
go to waste, right? Mm-hmm. They took this crisis and they turned it into a tragedy with all these kids, the drug addiction, the suicide, just depression in general, the fear they introduced into these kids' lives. I mean, it's the learning disabilities they're having now are just, you know, lack of being taught the last 2 years. Everything that has happened to these kids is a tragedy. And for what? Who did we save? We saved nobody. All right. And we knew this was going to happen. Anybody with common sense knew this was going to happen. Our school boards knew this was going to happen. They just, They just wanted to do what was best for the greater good. That's it.
No, actually, you already summarized with the court system what the schools are trying to do. The schools are trying to minimize the risk of some lawsuit coming against them. Yes, that's the only thing they were doing. And that's the same thing the court system was doing
and
with you.
Your COVID money so you could build a new school.
Yeah, and
that's equally important, right.
But here's the thing. The judicial system or whatever system's in place here that's going after Reed is trying to make an example of him to make sure no other parents stand up. And that's what's happening and why you're in a two-year-plus court battle where you had a jury trial for a misdemeanor charge, which is almost – is literally unheard of. They don't want any other parents to
– The state's attorney is taking this on by himself, for, you know, himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a –
But what they don't realize in doing this is they have unleashed something in Mitchell. But there was a ripple effect to what you did.
Oh, absolutely. You know, after I got in trouble, they ended up having the meeting at the Corn Palace, right? And there was a lot of people that came. A lot of people yelled. A lot of people screamed. They don't care what the people think. They just moved on, right? Eventually, they just quit having meetings. They just went to online meetings. The second year came about. They started the school with no mask because they didn't want a problem to start. They wanted to keep these kids in school, right? I think if they keep them in school up till
they get funding,
they get their funding at a certain point. Mm-hmm. I can't remember when that actually is, but they wanted to get that funding. Well, what, 2 weeks into the school year, they decided to go with masks. They had a meeting. Mm-hmm. There was 300 people at this meeting for sure. Maybe 10 people wanted masks. Everybody there was screaming and yelling, and kids were speaking. The basketball team was up there. Kids were talking about how they do not want this whatsoever. And everybody was yelling. I kept my mouth shut that time, but everybody was screaming.
Well, to understand why everybody was so worked up, Trent, this was like a bait-and-switch situation. Yep. Where it started normal. They called an emergency meeting, gave like a, 48-hour notice.
Yep.
Within 24 hours, there was a petition with how many signatures
yep.
Of parents opposing the mask mandates. And unanimously, despite having extreme opposition to the masks, the school board voted to instill those mask mandates, despite crying parents and crying kids and screaming parents and people very vocally. So then what happened
next? They don't care what you think.
Right.
They really don't. The school board president, she said she had, I think, 17 emails. She didn't say who from they were from. You know, were they reputable scientists? Were they local doctors? Who gave them these recommendations? They didn't say they don't care. Those were the recommendations they're going with.
But then we became a town divided.
Yep. There was just like everywhere else in the nation.
Yep. Protests outside the school for a month. Parents and teachers driving by to give meals to the kids because the kids couldn't come inside, but they could sit in the yard and not be considered truant. So we literally had students just sitting in the lawn in front of the school in Mitchell, South Dakota, the place where in this state we're supposed to have been free and open for business the entire time. I do think the governor made a good decision in leaving it to local schools or local communities to make decisions and not her coming in and making the decision for us. But in Mitchell, South Dakota, some crazy things happened.
Well, I was upset that she left it to the cities instead of leaving it to the individual.
For the record, it wasn't your governor. It was your state legislators that did that.
They kept it open.
But you make a good point. It should have been the individual and not even the city.
The only way to keep things equal, right? The equity agenda, they need laws to be able to keep things equal. Mm-hmm. You know.
Can we just go back to one little thing? You talk about all the people that were upset. Amanda, you said that it was a community divided. Is this division 50-50?
No.
In the community?
No.
You're the minority.
I think.
Are we the minority or are we the majority?
I think the majority is
compliant.
Kind of compliant, but apathetic.
Apathetic. Yeah. Just go along to get along.
Get along.
And like, oh, well, that's what we're doing. So that's what we'll do. I don't want to rock the boat because it would mean you'd have to make a tough decision. So like what?
You'll get the hate if you rock the boat.
They will
threaten to kill your family.
You'll be king.
You know, all the things that it's pretty bad. I mean,
Actually, threats to kill your family?
Oh, absolutely. Kill my family whatever. You haven't had those threats being online saying the wrong thing.
But you know what happened that was good? We had, what, 50, 60 kids leave the school system and go to smaller schools. Yep. We had how many families homeschool? You know, I was just like, I'm out of this mess. So there was a change.
I see that as a positive.
Yes, you know? I think so. And it hit the Mitchell School where it counts, which is in the pocketbook, because they said they didn't get that funding then for those students because smaller schools did.
Yes. Okay, Reed, I want to back up. Yes, I have had threats, but all of my threats come from some anonymous person online
that
can sit and hide behind a keyboard and a computer. That I've never had a threat to my family physically within my own community, particularly in my school system. That's a different deal.
You know, it is all online, but those people were in our community too.
They won't say it to your face.
Nobody will say it to my face. I clean sewers for a living. I've cleaned their sewers after. I've seen their posts talking trash, and then I went and saved their ass, you know. So they're all.
It's Roll Route. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more the second half. Reed Bender, Amanda Wright to you right after this. Hope that you're following Certified Piedmontese in the social media platform, because the pictures that are posted, the comments, and how people are so happy with two things about the Certified Piedmontese Beef Program. Number one, how tender the beef is. Number two, how they work with Great Plains producers. If you're in the Great Plains of America, you'd like to be a part of a system that supplies beef to consumers not only locally but around the world from the local production standpoint, then go to the website LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Get full details about what it takes to be a part of the supply chain. It's pretty simple. It's normal beef production 101. The only thing is you use the Piedmontese sires from Lone Creek that have been selected to grow well, to grow extremely well. The performance is fantastic. Everything's the same as raising cattle in any other system. It's just to use the Piedmontese sires that possess two copies of the myostatin gene for tenderness. Details about the premium structure and what it takes at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Welcome back. Route, Trent Lewis, Reed Bender, Amanda Radke. I just can't continue to go on here. You missed me a little bit yesterday.
No. I'm good, Trent.
You're cold.
But, I'm just playing catch up because today I hit the road immediately after we're done recording to go speak in Iowa at the Jefferson County Cattlemen's meeting.
Yet another meeting that I get for you, and yet you don't miss me at all.
I don't send you commission either.
Yeah, I know that.
And while we're promoting Amanda, check out AmandaRadke.com for all of your swag needs.
All your loose tails, mugs, and caps. Go to AmandaRadke.com.
Use code Trent to save 10%. We'll see if you're an influencer or not.
Hey, do I get the 10%?
No.
Reed, I have no idea why you'd want to live in this community.
Born and raised.
Okay.
Where else am I going to go?
All right. So I just want to share my own little story because everybody has to have their story. I'm not Reed Bender. All right. I may be if I had to be, but I haven't had to be. We have school board meetings where every time we start the school board meeting with, we follow the Open Meetings Act. And this is what we do. The rules are listed on the wall. And on the wall, it says that when you have a public meeting, you need to provide public comment. And so I went to this meeting where we were in the middle of some pretty heated stuff. Kelly and I have attended every school board meeting for the last 3 years. One of us has been there. I think we missed one or two, by the way. But in 3 years, we've pretty much been there every single time. And I've never not been a part of the comment period when I show up. There's always something that needs to be said. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't care. There's something that needs to be said. So this meeting I went to in this past superintendent, so I want to make sure everybody knows this is not a reflection of the current superintendent. The past superintendent's gone largely in part because of this, what led up to this, not because of what I did. But when it came to, there was no public comment period on the agenda. When it came time that the normal public comment period happens, I stood up and I read for my public comment, Governor Pete Ricketts stating that public entities need to remember that there needs to be provided public comment in every public meeting. I read his statement, sat back down. Superintendent was continually telling me, I'm out of line. A week later, I got a letter from the attorney for the State School Board Association telling me that if I came to another meeting and disrupted the meeting, that I would be arrested. Can you believe that?
Absolutely, I can believe that.
I made sure that I was at the next meeting, and I made sure that I stood up and spoke during the meeting and read the letter from the attorney that the school board had no idea I'd received. So it shed a little light on what was really going on. And wow. I've not been arrested yet at a school board meeting. All right, Reed, I'm somewhat foggy. What's your current legal status?
Current legal status?
Is this behind?
I got the next. So I don't get a jury trial. I got my next court date is on the 9th of August. It'll be in front of the judge. She will convict me. I will be convicted. I guarantee you, I will be. And then I'll appeal it, I guess. So
convict you of a misdemeanor of trespassing on public property.
Mm-hmm. Guarantee you, I'll be convicted of it.
Would be interesting to see the ruling on how do you trespass on public property?
Good question. There you go. Back to the law. What's the law on it? They can make up whenever they want. All right. They don't like what you say. They can call their buddies at the police station. They will come down and they will arrest you. They'll do whatever they want. You know, the cops, they just do what they're told. They don't know the law any more than anybody else.
Right.
They really don't. The lawyers don't even make a law. Have you ever been to a city council meeting and listened to these lawyers talk?
What I haven't heard you talk about, and what I would do if I were you, is that I heard you talk about the Mitchell City Police Force. But there's a county sheriff, and the county sheriff should be standing there with you.
I've talked to him. I know these people personally. Okay, I know everybody in this community personally. It's just the system, man. They protect the system. They protect themselves. They don't want to ruffle feathers.
No, the good county sheriffs, the constitutional county sheriffs, don't protect the system. They protect the citizens of the county.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I
like my sheriff, by the way. I think they're good. The sheriff's department's way better.
Well, then they need to be standing there with you.
Yeah, you'd think so. They should be doing that all over the nation for
absolutely
different reasons. Okay, but they won't.
But this is a classic example of why your relationship and the county sheriff needs to be in the loop on all of these issues, because sheriff should engage.
Yeah, you'd think so. They won't. Just back to the impact on the community. These people that were constantly telling me that I need to die and all this stuff. I know these people personally. Okay, I've seen their comments online, and then I would go to their homes and work on their homes. Same with the city. These same people. I'm still working for the school district all the time. I think it's funny when I walk into a school and everybody looks at me and, oh, it's this guy. Yet they still have to pay me, you know, because I'm the only one to do it. I'm the only one that cleans sewers in this area. I have a good reputation throughout the state with what I do. And I'm the only one that does it. So they have to call me.
Can you tell your Menards story?
No, I'm not going to tell my Menards.
It's story. My favorite though. Menards was not anybody's friend during the pandemic. We'll just leave it at that.
And just to be clear, you're talking about cleaning septic systems.
I do sewers of all kinds, clean pipes, septics, municipal, agricultural, even to get into ethanol plant, industrial type plant work.
The cool thing,
I get into water plants. How dirty your water is will blow your mind. The amount of toxins that are in our water, you know, pharmaceuticals. We're all on antidepressants, if you want to know the truth. So
what I like that you say is your willingness to be bold. Obviously it's something that's important to you, but not everybody's willing to do it. But one of the things that you've said is I'm not cancelable because everybody needs you in town.
That's why I decided to do it, because they can't cancel me. All right. And you know what? If they cancel me in Mitchell, I can go make a living anywhere in this nation. I'm not worried about that. All right. But that's just it. They can't cancel me.
Actually, this community has no secrets from you. And I know this because I have a dear friend named Marty Beard who had a septic system in Bismarck for years. And we would do weekly shows about what he found in people's septic systems. Mm-hmm. He even found a 9mm one day, a Glock.
What was his business called again? It was a cool name.
Turd Burglar.
Turd Burglar. Turd Burglar.
The Turd Burglar truck. And on the back of his truck, it says, and this, by the way, was during the Obama years as president, you might fancy, but it said, this tank contains Obama stimulus package.
Trent, you need Reed on the show a whole nother hour to talk about family businesses, because their business is five brothers, multiple generations, and it's truly a testament to, you know, entrepreneurship, small business, and the value of things like essentials that actually matter. And I think there needs to be more of a push for that with our young people. And maybe that's changing, but that's a conversation for a whole other day.
Yeah, well, we can do a teaser about it here, because what I see happening is on August the 12th, Reed, I'll be stopping by Mitchell, picking up a young man named Thorne, and I'll bring my TV camera and we'll do a TV show. And I'll be riding along with you cleaning sewers.
He's never answering your call.
Yeah, we can go do something. I'll figure something out for us.
Yeah. Well, how long has your family been in this business now that she's given us this little appetizer?
47 years, I think, right?
I don't know.
Older who are you asking, Amanda?
I am a customer also. He's been out here and saved my butt too, so.
So, yeah. Amanda, I got a question for you, because you are South Dakota's best advocate for homeschooling.
Yeah.
Do you ever show up at the school board, and would they take you seriously if you had an opportunity to speak and say something because your kids aren't in the school?
I've really struggled with that because two things. Number one, my kids were open enrolled into another district, a smaller school system. So my kids were never attending Mitchell, or Scarlett did 1 year of preschool. So there was that. I mean, I think anyone can show up if you're a taxpayer, but I did not engage in the Mitchell fight simply because I felt like a major hypocrite because my kids weren't going there and I was homeschooling. So I had opted out not once, but twice from the Mitchell district. And by the way, Reed and I are both graduates of Mitchell High School. We're former colonels, former Mitchell Colonel basketball players, although I bet you could guess which one was a better basketball player between the two of us, just, you know, by size and stature.
Was that a trick question? I want to go back, though, because I disagree with you adamantly, Amanda Radke. Maybe as much as I've ever disagreed with you in any statement since I've known you 26 years. I did the math on that last night, by the way. I've known you 26 years.
All right.
Do you pay taxes in the county?
I do.
Do you pay taxes that feed the school system?
I suppose that would be true.
So you have as equal of a right to show up and voice your opinion because you are a financial contributor to this school being in existence, and you need to make sure they're spending your money properly, whether you have kids in the school or not.
That would be accurate. And, you know, Mitchell has a freedom group that meets, and we have ladies that have no kids in the system that go to these school board meetings, and they probably, you could argue, care more about the kids than the parents do themselves of the kids that are in attendance.
That is true.
So yeah, we need more, myself included.
The school system's a babysitter. That's all.
Well, the other part of that we're leaving out, typically, I mean, they're not people not like Reed or Trent and Kelly Luce, the parents are reluctant to show up and speak their mind because they're afraid of the retaliation against their kid in school. And so the reason you have the elderly population, I don't mean to say that, the senior population, I don't mean to say that, the more experienced people in the community showing up speaking at the school board meeting is that they don't have a kid they fear is going to be retaliated against. And truly, that's what it boils down to, is that people just live in fear, even in the school system, that their kids are going to be retaliated against. We must move beyond the fear. That's what we will continue to do. Obviously, no fear with Reed Bender. Reed Bender, Amanda Radke, both here from Mitchell. We'll be back the last segment. Roll route after this. Let me remind you about Gold Buckle Tack. The truck will be at the Oliver County Fair, and then the Cowboy Cure event is coming up, Bismarck, September the 11th. Get full details about the Oliver County Fair. Now, I'm judging the livestock show at the Oliver County Fair Center, North Dakota. The ranch rodeos that night, so Marty and I will be in the Gold Buckle Tack trailer that evening. It's a truck. It's a truck with all of the supplies you could ever want to be in the equine business. The Western World, or maybe some jewelry. Goldbuckletack.net to check it all out. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, alongside Amanda Radke, Reed Bender. All right, Amanda, you got a better handle on this than anybody in terms of how we need, what we for sure need to accomplish before we run out of time. Is there an area that we have not explored we need to get to?
Can I explore something?
Yeah.
Okay. My own experience in with the education system from with my oldest son going through the daycares and all that stuff, and me trying to put him in the right spot, the right daycares, made a huge difference. Even with public school, I ended up bringing both my kids over to the Christian school, and the Christian school is awesome. Right? They don't have the sports or some of the other classes, the more hands-on tech type classes. They don't have those, but as far as education, they're just better at teaching these kids. Okay? And I found out how valuable they are. Now, my oldest son going through the public school system, up until fifth grade, then I brought him over to the Christian school. He was already kind of set in that public school ways, you know, and he didn't care. Once he got over to the middle school or the Christian school, he did great as far as his personality, getting along with people and everything, but his grades weren't good enough for me to keep paying for him to be there, right? My youngest kid, on the other hand, he went through all of Mitchell Christian. He's smarter because of it. And the value those schools have, it is hard to put a value on it. The public schools are destroying kids at this point.
Honestly,
we should, as a community, push those schools more than anything, but that's kind of against you'd be going against the grain, be going against the public school system, that type of stuff, which we should at this point.
Kind of like the Friday night football game, Reed, those Christian schools that are excelling in communities put pressure and competitive edge on the public school to do a better job or lose your students.
Yep. And we should promote that school more. We really should. Everybody should. The public school system is a failure at this point on so many levels. Across the board, they're a failure. And Mitchell, our school system in South Dakota is amazing compared to so many other places. Mm-hmm. They truly are. We do great here. The whole, even all of COVID, we've done great. Our politicians in this state did a better job than anywhere else. But for me, it's not good enough at all. They're destroying our kids here in town. All this woke crap is coming to our schools here in this town. That's my biggest issue with all that crap. I didn't see it coming. I thought we were better than that here, but now all this bull crap is here. All this new environmental bull crap is here.
The public school system could be fixed with one simple tweak, and that is to stop taking the federal funding and let the states and the local communities drive the curriculum, drive the programs, drive the rhetoric, and then let parents decide. And what else it could fix the public school system is parents no longer being apathetic and just accepting that, well, I need this to go work my job, so I can't.
It all comes down to leadership. Mm-hmm. It really does. The leadership in any school board anywhere across the nation, they just go by the status quo. You said that federal dollars, those all dictate what they do, what they teach, all this stuff, and how they even interact with kids.
Schools, by the way, can be compromised in that same way.
Absolutely.
If they're taking COVID money, if they're taking federal dollars, if they're using, which what I have found out, a lot of Christian private schools use the curriculum provided by the public school system. Mm-hmm. So then you're just paying a lot of money to still get a public school education. So parents need to ask questions, I think, is the biggest thing. Then you have to have a real honest look at what it is and what you're willing to accept. And then you have to look for solutions. So is it homeschooling? Is it moving to a private school? What does it look like? Is it fighting at the school board meeting? I know parents are busy and they can't do it all. You can't do it all. But you can do something to make it better. and it's not going to be the leadership that does it.
You know, I have no time for parents who tell me they don't have time to go to the school board meeting. What is more important than the indoctrination of your kid? If you're not interested or willing to show up to be a part of shaping the indoctrination that your kid, then you're not fit to be a parent. I don't care. There's nothing more important than your daily activity or your week. It's one meeting a month.
Well, frankly, I think I'm going to get in trouble here, but I think there's so much to fix. A parent speaking at the school board meeting can make small changes to improve their child's experience at the public school system. But you're not going to change the curriculum because that is federally provided. It is government driven, and the current pulse of the nation is headed in a direction that many of us don't like. And so that's what's going to be taught to your kids. Those are the seeds that are going to be planted. So fight as much as you want. That's what's there being taught to your kids, period.
Oh, okay, but you're proving yourself wrong with the very context of our show. Reed, you are facing some charges and going to appear in front of a judge. What was the end result of your activity at the school with the mask?
The end result?
Were the kids forced to wear a mask? Were you forced to wear a mask in the board meeting?
I guess what happened and what I even told kids was to defy their teachers little by little. Pull your mask down. Irritate your teachers, basically groom your teachers into the point where they won't bother you anymore. Right. And that's what kids did. They quit caring what the teacher said. The teacher tell them to pull it up. They'd pull it up and pull it right back down. That is their little way of pushing back. So right. And
Reed's biggest victory was empowering parents and giving mm-hmm. them permission.
And the kids
right.
too. And the kids to push too, back a
to
little
push yeah, back. So we had one teacher.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Grant, we had one teacher that walked out. She yep. wouldn't follow through with the mask mandates. And she stood up and she thought other teachers would support her. And she ended up kind of standing alone yep. in a lot of
yep.
ways.
She did that.
But
that
one awesome. Person can shift the conversation. When Reed did that and he was being drug out of the school board meeting with a taser at his back, I didn't have the same course of action because I had already taken my kids out of the public school system. But it reminded me, oh man, I'm not alone in this community thinking the way I think. And then we had our first freedom rally meeting of patriots in the community. And I showed up to that first one and I thought there'd be like five people there. That first one was standing room only. And that was when it really dawned on me. I really am not totally in the minority in how I think of what's going on.
And
in this
I don't
town.
Think we all are at all. I think we're in the majority. Honestly, do the people I talk to, everybody sees what's going on around the world. We see it. They just don't know what to do. Even when right. it comes to the local school board, nothing they do seems to make a difference, right? Mm-hmm. I think it does a little bit on a cultural sense. The people in the community, you know, get the vibe. They understand what's going on. But at the same point, they're just kind of stuck in their apathetic ways of, well, just go along, get along.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But see, my point is that by the actions of a few, you've made a difference. You've made a difference in the overall outcome of what the community is going to do. The superintendent, the school board feel this, and the same thing can happen with the curriculum. It comes back to the same story every single time. How loud is the roar about what is happening? And it all starts with one. That one teacher may have not anybody stand with her, but there are things that are happening now because of it.
They don't care what you think at all. When it comes to their agenda, the money they're going to get, they all have this plan. They know that money's coming. That's why they're forcing these kids to wear masks. They don't care what you think, ever.
By the way, ever. Trent, we're building a brand new school, and meanwhile, half the teachers in Mitchell, South Dakota are posting their Amazon wish list to get the supplies they need to teach yes, the students yes. because they're not given enough funding to be fully staffed.
They got $6 million from COVID funds, right? They're mm-hmm. paying the teachers more is never on the agenda.
Never.
All right? That isn't even a consideration. They could if they wanted. There's so many things they could do if they wanted to. They can mm-hmm. do anything. Right? They can force you to wear a mask. They can teach you how to breathe.
I just find it tragic that a teacher has to go online and beg for mm-hmm. scissors and crayons and glue for the school mm-hmm. year.
And by accepting this money, that school is going to cost twice as much now.
Yes.
Just because of inflation. Because all these people accepted all this money for free, mm-hmm. right? All this free money.
Well, I'm just going to give you the example of what I used on the campaign trail in Nebraska. The average student in the state of Nebraska, the cost per school per student is $13,500. My school, where our Landry goes, the youngest of three, is $21,000. And we get very little state funding. We get federal funding, USDA funding, all that nonsense. But the Nebraska Christian School, which is the Christian school which you talked about, they use their own curriculum. They do not accept any state or federal funding. And the average cost of educating a kid at Nebraska Christian is $10,500. Because they are forced to be better at educating, and because they don't have this surplus money coming in like a school prostituting themselves for you pay me and we'll teach whatever you want, they give the kids a better education. And that's the example that we need to follow, that every parent in every public school system needs to say, you need to get better at this. And I've had this conversation with my governor, Pete Ricketts. In fact, today I'm going to have a conversation with the governor of Oklahoma, Governor Stitt, because Oklahoma is taking the initiative saying, we're not going to do what you say. We don't care if you withhold our funding for the school nutrition program. My governor, Pete Ricketts, I've had this conversation with him. He said, Trent, you have to show me how we're going to fund schools if we tell the federal government to go fly the kite. Reed, we have 1 minute. What do you want us to most know and take home here today?
What advice do you have for other parents, maybe, as someone who's been
in I don't know. I don't know if I'm any more optimistic or not. I'm not really.
But you keep showing up.
I do. I go to school board meetings. I go to city council meetings. I just speak some bull crap. I don't know if it makes sense or not. A lot of times I'm just hoping to make people think just a little bit, you know, by saying some random stuff.
No, but you do.
And it does. I mean, I've had people come up and talk to me a lot, like, oh, yeah, I appreciate you saying that stuff, which makes me feel good, makes me want to keep going at it. But I don't really see any actual impact, like, as far as policy-wise or anything like that. They're not changing anything, because when it comes to the people in charge, like I said, they don't care. They're going to just push through. Unless enough people come up and beg for change, maybe. I'd love to see it. And that's what they keep going for.
You have to have a roar.
Impact, I don't know.
I think, Reed, you are really good at being a cultural leader, and that's what the community needs, is someone that says, this is the shift I want to see happening, and the more you show up, the more it will give confidence to others who are pretty shy or don't want the pushback or don't know how. You are leading the way, whether you think so or not.
Even if I sound so stupid when I do it.
You don't.
We'll do it. We've successfully journeyed. You didn't sound stupid 1 minute of this broadcast here today, Reed Bender. That'll do it. We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America. For Amanda Radke, see you tonight in Fairfield, Iowa. I might just show up and heckle you from the crowd. Reed Bender, Trent Lewis, all three of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Continuing to supply the information that you need to fight for property rights. And that's what it is, fighting for property rights. Animal ownership is one of the key components to fighting for property rights. Protect the Harvest does a great job in supplying the information needed to fight for that particular right as an American citizen. Full details and explaining it better than I just did at protecttheharvest.com.